In bazaars. The text under consideration, when literally rendered, throws much light upon the subject. Thus it reads, "In his kingdom he shall do honour to a God of guardians, even an accursed one whom his fathers knew not, shall he honour with gold and with silver and with precious stones and with things desired. Thus shall he do in bazaars of guardians, with an accursed dissembler, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to exercise authority over multitudes, and he, the little horn, shall divide the land for gain." There are peculiarities in this translation which I shall notice presently. Of the whole text, it may be remarked here that it is in strict accordance with history and therefore worthy to be received. It testifies that the little horn of the goat should do honour to a God of guardians with riches and things desired. Now, to honour a God of guardians with such things is to enrich the institutions dedicated to the guardian saints, whose high priest Rome's episcopal God is. In meeting the suggestions of the accursed one, the little horn was honouring him with things desired. Justinian was a remarkable instance of liberality to the church and its chief. Besides the magnificent temple of Saint Sophia, he dedicated 25 others in that city and its suburbs to the honour of the Virgin and the saints. Most of these edifices were decorated with marble and gold. His munificence was distributed over the Holy Land, throughout which monasteries for both sexes were amply spread. Almost every saint in the calendar acquired the honour of a temple, and the liberality with which he honoured them was boundless. He employed 10,000 workmen in the erection of Saint Sophia, which he finished in 5 years, 11 months and 10 days from the first foundation. No wood except the doors was admitted into its construction. Paul Silentiarius, who beheld its primitive lustre, enumerates the colours, the shades, and the spots of 10 and 12 marbles, jaspers, porphyries, which nature had profusely diversified, and which were blended and contrasted, as it were, by a skilful painter. The triumph of Antichrist was adorned with the last spoils of paganism, but the greater part of these costly stones was extracted from the quarries of Asia Minor, the Isles, and the continent of Greece, Egypt, Africa, and Gaul. A variety of ornaments and figures was curiously expressed in mosaic, and the images of Christ, of the Virgin, of saints, and of angels were exposed to the superstitions of the Greeks. According to the sanctity of each object, the precious metals were distributed in thin leaves or in solid masses. The spectator was dazzled by the glittering spectacle of the cupola. The sanctuary contained 40,000 pounds weight of silver, and the holy vases and vestments of the altar were of the purest gold, enriched with inestimable gems. Such are the words of Gibbon, and no description of things could more palpably demonstrate the applicability of the text to any other person than this does to Justinian as the individual emperor of the little Greek horn, who in his kingdom honoured an accursed God of guardian saints in their bazaars with gold, with silver, and with precious stones, and with things desired. "Thus shall he do," saith the scripture, "in the most strongholds with a strange god, or an accursed dissembler." In the margin of the passage, instead of "in the most strongholds," it reads "in fortresses of munitions," which does not help the matter at all. The Hebrew words are "le mitzavrai mahuzim." The root of mitzavrai is barzah and signifies to enclose with a wall or the like for safety. As a noun, it signifies store or treasure so secured. Derivative, a bazaar, a kind of covered marketplace among the eastern nations, somewhat like our Exeter Change, but frequently much more extensive. That's a quotation from Parkhurst's Lexicon. In the strongholds of Mahuzim, or in Mahuzim bazaars, comes nearer to the original. Understanding that Mahuzim are deified ghosts, worshipped as patrons and protectors, the question need only be asked, what are their strongholds or bazaars? And every reflecting mind will immediately answer, why, the churches, to be sure. This is the truth. The churches, chapels and cathedrals are the strongholds and houses of merchandise dedicated by the prospering crafts to guardian saints and angels. There are the images and pictures of the saints. They are saints' houses in which are deposited their shrines, silver, gold and ivory crucifixes, old bones and various kinds of trumpery. They are literally dens of thieves, without ever having been the houses of the Father, where people are robbed of their money under diverse false pretenses. They are places where pews are sold by auction, where fairs are held for pious objects, and where spiritual quacks pretend to cure souls in exchange for so much per annum. In view of these facts, the scriptural epithet bestowed upon the church houses of the apostasy is most appropriate. They are truly bazaars of spiritual merchandise, and the prospering craft, the great men of the earth, made rich by trading in their wares, are the bazaar men, who extort all kinds of goods from their customers by putting them in fear and comforting them with heavenly pay. They buy and sell under license from the state, having received the mark on their foreheads and in their hands. The reader may find the catalogue of sale in the 18th of the Revelation. Among the articles of merchandise are bodies and souls of men. But the trade of these soul merchants is fast falling into disrepute. Their customers growl exceedingly at being compelled to deal at bazaars where the profit is all on one side. The state of things, however, will not last much longer, for the time cometh, as it is written, when no man buyeth their merchandise any more. There is often more truth than fiction, though not much elegance, in the proverbs of the vulgar. But the reader will now perceive the scripture origin of the term gospel shop, as applied to places of religious convocation, where men preach gospels at so much per sermon or per annum. I am aware that Paul says, the Lord hath ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. This is just and proper, but this ordinance does not apply to those who do not preach the gospel, but preach mere human tradition instead. These are preachers of other gospels, and to pay them is to take the bread out of the children's mouths and cast it to dogs, even to dumb dogs that cannot bark. The places where they deal out their traditions are well and truly designated shops or bazaars, for the system which sanctifies them is mere trading in religion and haggling for a crust of bread. But then bazaars of priestly wares are distinguished from places of honourable trade by being dedicated to Mahuzim. This is a remarkable feature in the prophecy, which finds its counterpart in the dedication of the churches to guardian saints and angels. Saint Sophia at Constantinople, Saint Peter's at Rome, Our Lady's at Paris, Saint Paul's at London, and innumerable other bazaars dedicated to all conceivable kinds of saints, and lest any should be forgotten, to all saints, and even to all souls, are examples in point. In these bazaars of guardians, then, the two little horns and the other horns, through their policy of coarse craft, to prosper by their power, and have done honour to the God of guardians with gold and silver and precious stones and things desired.